It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to a bonus episode of the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Manny Arthur, the founder of the Black Cyclist Network, was our guest on our previous episode, and he had a question he was itching to ask Brad that gave us this compelling conversation that we thought deserved an episode of its own.
It's a bit of a personal fanboy question, if you don't mind.
Go for it, man.
I was just mentioning how I watched the interview that you did with Eddie Merckx.
Yeah.
The Relay Classic podcast, I think. And you sort of mentioned the transition. You talked about transitioning from, you know, being a hero and being someone famous, you know, known for, you know, being an incredible cyclist, the greatest cyclist ever. Yeah. And that transition from being that person that Eddie was then to where he is now, yeah, as a retiree and someone who still, you know, follows cycling.
Yeah.
But it's not the same person then, but people still approach you and sort of talk about all your heroics from,
yeah,
you know, 70s and so on. In terms of you, where you're standing is, I see similarities there. And I just wanted to just put that same question to you,
yeah,
and to ask you how you feel, because from my perspective, I feel like you captured the whole nation's imagination, you know, back in 2012. And it's one of those things where it's like every Tom, Dick and Harry sees you and they're like, oh, this is Bradley Wiggins, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just they want to talk to you, they want to ride with you, and they want to even beat you on a gentle ride. How does that feel?
Well, I think that's just people, that's a perception people have of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people tend, perceptions last.
Yeah.
So in this day and age with how people view you, people approach you and assume you're the perception that you were. I was Wiggo playing guitar on stage with Paul Weller and, you know, drunk at Sports Personality of the Year and this, that and the other. And that kind of reckless sort of rock star image or whatever lasts with you and it takes away from the content of your character and what you really are and what you stand for. Plus, I've been retired for 4 years now and I've been through a lot of life experience, a lot of trauma and stuff. And I've dealt with a lot of trauma from my childhood that I never addressed before, which added to me being quite insecure as an athlete, quite introvert, having to play a character, you know, where now I know myself more than any other time in my life at 40. And I think it's, you have to change. Most people in life go through change. It's just that my life's been quite documented.
Yeah.
And lad, to go play, every major thing in my life has been, whether it was my father getting murdered, whether it was childbirth, whatever, it's always been in the press. Everything's a news story. And that I never really realised that. It's quite hard, you know, when you go back, your whole life's been documented. And yeah, and I suppose in doing that and a way of protecting yourself from that, you know, I played a character, you know, more so when I got famous, you know, as a veil to sort of in introvertness to try and perform every time I went out.
Yeah. Do you still feel that pressure?
No. Okay. Not so anymore. No, I can be myself more than ever now. And I think detaching from cycling and having 4 years to find yourself. The sad thing is a lot of people that are famous, they never get away from the perception.
Mm-hmm.
They carry on doing that. And people like Mike Tyson and that, they go through massive change. You know, they're not the same people they were and they deal with it. Lots of people, you know, like Ronnie Wood, Mick Jagger, they're still that perception of them they were in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, still dyeing their hair and stuff. And that, I think that's quite tragic and sad, really. You know, I think it's, you know, people cling on to that when they were their most famous to stay in the limelight and try and hang on to it. And it's the ones that change, really. But I've never really sort of cared for the celebrity side, I think.
So in terms of like your second phase, your transition to where you are now, how would you describe yourself in terms of like how you want to be perceived by the general public?
And well, I don't want to be perceived as anything. Yeah, I don't really want to be perceived as anything. I think it's nice when people come up to you and say that. I give to people the time of day now rather than shy away from it. But letting people get to know you now, I think that's the part of it, really. And maybe I always ask So when people come to me now, I always ask them what they do for a living, you know, and ask them about themselves. And in turn, you might find out something interesting about them, really.
Yeah.
So if someone says to me, you know, you're a hero and you're a legend, I say, well, what do you do for a living? Because I don't feel like one. They say, well, actually, I'm a doctor or something. I go, well, you know, or I'm not even that. And I say, they say, why'd you ask that? I say, because you might be far more successful than I was in another area of life,
yeah,
but not get the adulation for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that I get the adulation for doing that. But there are people that are far more successful and far more, you know, do far more for society in that than what I did. That
stop downplaying it.
No, no, don't get adulation. You know, no. So because, well, half the thing with fame is people can perceive themselves to be better than somebody else. And you end up talking down to people and not giving people time of day. But then in most cases, people have suffered in certain areas of their life that I can resonate with through life experience, you know, through things that happen in your personal life. And that, and then you get onto another subject which takes away from the perception.
Yeah.
And then people quite often say to you, oh, God, yeah, well, I didn't realize you were actually like that. Yeah, you always seem like you're a bit, ooh, what, this, and the other. What do you mean by woo? And they go, well, you know, you're a bit funny, this, you swear quite often. That's because I was quite insecure and I had to be shocking and contentious for the sake of it.
Right.
But I didn't realize you actually were quite into the mental health stuff. Yeah, and then you just get onto another trail. Then so they get to know you. Actually, you're all right, you, aren't you? And even the ones who thought you were an arsehole go, yeah, I never really liked you when you were a thing because I didn't like the way you swore and all that. I go,
yeah,
you're actually all right. And, you know, I go, there you go, mate, because you'd never met me before. But then I suppose I added to that perception back there by amplifying it by doing things, you know, being contentious most of the time. But now I can, by talking like this,
yeah,
you change the perception straight away.
Exactly. But isn't that hard work, like always trying to convince a new person?
It's not convincing. I don't do it to convince people. I'm interested. I'm like generally interested. Yeah. I'm not, my motivation isn't to change their perception of me. It's just by asking them something, I find interest.
Yeah.
It's just engaging. I like talking to people now. I was never a people. I used to hate people. I never used to talk to people. I used to shy away and be quite introvert and quite reclusive.
Yeah.
Now I like talking to people and finding more because it's quite interesting.
But it's a difficult one in that, yes, you don't.
You said it to me a year ago. Do you remember you said, do you care what people think? Do you remember
being outside the pub in Brussels?
Yeah. And that was around the time I was sort of changing and finding. And that really took that on board. I remembered that. I remember you saying, we were having a smoke, weren't we?
Yeah.
And you said, do you care what people think? And that was part of it. Like, and you're right, Dan. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what I was about to say is on the other side of things, although you don't have a, you know, your job directly is not as important as a doctor or a nurse or whatever.
No.
On the other side of that, you've also influenced and inspired a lot of people to change lives.
Yeah, I accept that. Yeah.
And although nobody gets into sport or whatever they do for the fame necessarily, just by virtue of being, you know, as talented as you were, what you can't sort of forget is that you have changed quite a few people's lives. Like,
no,
even if they haven't told you, there's people that were inspired to get.
But if it's when they're over egging the adulation that you're somehow better than them as a person. It's the fact they inspired you is great, but it's still, you're almost lifting them up a bit. That, you know, you don't have to look, you know, don't have to feel down here, you know, because it's. And that is only by engaging with them and talking to them, thanking them for, you know, and I understand that it inspired you.
You know what's amazing about that? I think that's that the Sean Yates in you coming out.
Yeah, but it's not about walking around thinking you're better than everyone else. Yeah. That's the thing I got real issue with.
Yeah.
Where the veil of celebrity and fame, you know, thinks you can get into restaurants and things like this and, you know, saying, oh, do you know who I am? That whole famous sort of thing. And that's what I don't like, especially in this day and age where the world is people that use their fame and that continually flaunting wealth, this, that, and the other, that make people feel worse about themselves. Yeah. I think fame and celebrity is great if it's used in the right way now, more so than ever. I don't think it ever, you know, I think the days of Floyd Mayweather and that, it's all gone now for me.
Yeah.
You know, because the world's a tough place and it's about helping other people, inspiring people. Inspiration is the key to it. Not people looking at someone on Instagram and thinking, God, he makes me feel so crap about myself, you know? Because I think that's terrible, you know? Particularly in lockdown, you know, I think it was the most challenging time for lots of people with mental health issues, being locked away on their own. Yeah. And their only means to the outside world was through things like social media and that.
I think you're spot on. I mean, I noticed that people are becoming more emotionally intelligent about their feelings and being able to talk about it. And when you're seeing what's happening, and especially like the millennial generation and the Gen Z, the younger generation are really connected. And in terms of their political worldview, they are empathetic towards other people that don't look like them or they're not closely aligned with. And so that's really coming out. But I guess the whole point of this is I wanted to try and understand, like, you know, I want to prick you on a little bit on things that sort of get on your nerves.
No, they don't get on my nerves anymore.
No, but
no.
But don't you ever go through like periods when you're like, I don't really want to be involved in cycling, but you still are involved in cycling?
Yeah, no, I did do when I initially retired, but that was more for selfish reasons, to, you know, be normal or be as normal as I could for a bit. You know, I'd live my life in cycling and I wanted to do normal things in that now. But I could come back to it now detached from cycling. And I did last year for the first time, having been asked for a few years to, and loved it on the back of that motorbike, you know. And I can watch cycling for what it is now and not be bitter and not refer to myself all the time and want to watch other people do well. You know, there are certain people in cycling that resent other riders from their country and that doing well because they want to be the only ones, you know. And I think it's liberating when you feel like that and you actually genuinely want to watch a Geraint Thomas, people like that, not, oh, I hope he don't get my record and things like that, because I think that would be a sad way to live your life. That means you're very unhappy.
One last question, being a fanboy.
Go on, then.
If, for example, you know, I see Bradley Wiggins riding his bike.
Who's he?
And I ride up to you.
Yeah.
What should be the general etiquette? You know, because, you know, some of us would want to race you. How should we approach it?
No, I think you might race me then. Yeah. You won't. I won't beat you. That's for sure. I can tell you that now.
Okay. So if you're
that's
home,
the worst thing about X.
No, just come up.
If you're like ex snooker player, ex footballer, you those skills don't leave you. But as ex cyclist,
just get come up. I mean, just be normal. You know.
Yeah.
Just don't see me as anything else. You know.
Okay.
Call me the C word if you want. That's a good introduction.
People will always be different around you. Though. I've seen it when I've been with you, or when you've come into a room or whatever, that people just change, and that's unfortunately not going to change.
No, I know. No, but, yeah. I mean, look, it nearly killed me that, and I'm all right now, and I don't mind it. I'm still quite introvert, you know. I wear a cap in public a lot of the time because I can put my head down, but now I look like Bronson. No one really notices me. Me and Manny got the same look.
Brother from another mother. I think that's why people love you, Brad. It's just that, you know, that genuine honesty.
Yeah, well, I just find it liberating, and it's easy to live your life now, being honest. Rather than this facade that, you know, you sort of just, like I said, being contentious or saying shocking things just to be. It was a lot of the time, it was like a desperation to be different to everyone else and not conform, you know. And, you know, we were saying earlier about people, what they have to say the same things and not say anything to. And then I'd just come out and go, you know, I'd just say something just to say something different to what the key message was, you know. And there's that freedom, really. And I've got that now, really. And I don't have to be, so I could just be honest. And then, like,
I think that's just your boy meter working.
Without being a bit too Roy Keane, though, you know, there's a balance.
No. But there is a bit where it's like you see a circus going on and you're just like, oh, sake.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like with Alaphilippe, you know, come on, you're lying.
Yeah.
I'd like the journalist to say that back to him, right, rather than Jeff Kinnear going, how does this make you feel today?
But then what do you expect him to say? So journalist challenges Alaphilippe today and goes, come on,
but the reason he says that is because of the pressure mounted on him. So he's probably sitting there going, actually, I'm not going as well as I did last year. And everyone expects me to win every race I start now and get fifth in the Tour. And I'm probably not going to get fifth in the Tour this year. So by his own admission, his own expectation, that's the pressure the riders put on themselves. But he knows in himself, I can tell now, that he's like not going as well as he was. And if that's the level that he was, I mean, that's really hard to get back to anyway. Let alone having 8 months in quarantine where he's not been able to see people and, you know, be his bubbly self and feed off the press and feed off the motivation. And
what would you have said back in the day if I'd have said to you?
Well, so there's an interview on YouTube. If you want to have a look at it now, someone asked me and I go, if I'm honest with you, I haven't got it. And it was at the top of a climb in the 2010 Tour. That's what you say.
And then you get a call from Dave Brailsford.
Well, afterwards.
I was like, well, I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't got it.
What was the repercussions from that?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people were just good on him for his honesty.
Yeah.
What was I supposed to say? Well, I got dropped at the last climb, but I haven't got it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.